to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, February 27th, 2022, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
Today, as we come to the end of this season, which began with Jesus' baptism in the River Jordan and concludes now on the Mountain of Transfiguration, we hear again the voice of God. God spoke at Jesus' baptism, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." That voice came to Jesus as a mark of the beginning of his earthly ministry. And he spent 3 years wandering through the villages and towns of Galilee, teaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, healing people, casting out demons, and training his disciples to be eventual apostles of this good news, training them for the day when he would depart, training them from the day when they would receive the Holy Spirit and carry on this message of the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God. And now here at the end of this chapter, Jesus on the mountain hears again the voice of God. "This is my Son, the Beloved." But now the voice is for the disciples. Listen to him. It's kind of a mark that now the torch is being passed from Jesus to his disciples. Now it is they who will embody and carry forth God's message, God's healing, God's forgiveness, and God's salvation. And it's a special moment. It's a true mountaintop experience. They're there on the mountain. Now, my wife pointed out, it's only three of them, right? It's Peter and John and James, the inner circle. I kind of feel bad for the other nine, right? They just had to hear about it later, go, "Man, we always miss the good stuff." But anyway, Peter and James and John stay awake, and they see this amazing image. Jesus transformed, transfigured by God's power and grace, the glory of God finally appearing without a veil. Jesus radiates this wonderful power and glory of God. And there's more. Two figures appear with him, turning out to be Moses and Elijah, who represent the pillars of Jewish faith. Moses, the symbol of the law, the covenant, the first five books of the Bible. Moses, who had gone up himself on Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments and to speak with God over and over, as we heard in our lesson today. He didn't just go up once. He spoke with God many times, and every time he came away, the glory of God was reflected in Moses, so much so that it kind of freaked out everybody else. In fact, Aaron said, "Moses, could you put a bag over your head or something, because you're really freaking us out with this glowing face thing." Something happened to Moses when he was in the presence of God. He was changed, and God's glory was revealed. And so Jesus now is changed. Or at least, he's not changed, but the truth, the glory that was there, is now revealed. And the second person who appears is Elijah. Elijah, who represents the second pillar of Jewish life, the prophets. The law and the prophets were the foundation for Jewish life and identity, and now they come to kind of be with Jesus. And it's interesting, we get a clue as to what they're talking about. They're kind of giving Jesus a pep talk. They're talking with Jesus about the departure. Departure? Yes, his death. Because when Jesus comes down from this mountaintop experience, he is setting his face to Jerusalem. He's ending this chapter of teaching and healing and beginning to walk into his passion, his death, and ultimately his resurrection. And so Moses and Elijah are, I think, encouraging him, talking with him, giving him support. "Don't worry, Jesus, we're with you and God is with you as you walk through these next difficult days. The reason I added that second part of the gospel is that it gives me a wonderful picture, because, you know, Jesus has this powerful experience, and now Jesus' mind and heart are fixed on the cross, fixed on Jerusalem, fixed on accomplishing this mighty work of salvation, right? He's now done with the earthly ministry and on with the passion, the death, and the resurrection. All his energy and focus is fixed on that. And he comes down the mountain, and immediately he's thrown back into the real world. You know, this has happened to me. Maybe it's happened to you. You have a powerful spiritual experience. You go on retreat. You get swept up by the glory and power of God. You just feel like you're walking on air. And then you come home, and the cat has thrown up on your bed. This is a painful example and a true example for me. And incidentally, and totally coincidentally, anyone wants a cat, they can give you a good deal. But you know how that happens? Like, you have these spiritual experiences, and then you're right back in the thick of all the world. And that's what it must have felt like with Jesus, because he gets kind of cranky here, right? This guy comes up. He's just come down. He's like, okay, I'm ready for the crucifixion. Onward with the mission. And this guy says, your disciples are a bunch of idiots. My son was near death, and they were supposed to heal him, and they couldn't heal him, right? Complaining, needy, difficult. And Jesus throws up his hands and says, this again? I thought I had showed you what you needed. I don't know if he's more upset with the guy or with the disciples or with the situation, but it's a distraction. So he heals the boy. Of course, Jesus heals the boy. But what I love about this is, think about this. The disciples have been with Jesus for 3 years. All this time, he has been training them. They've been in a process of formation. They've been learning what they need, empowered by God to do the work. And then they try it out, and they fall flat on their faces. I don't know about you, but I find this very helpful, because that has been my experience more often than the other. We too are followers of Jesus. We too are trying to keep the vision of the glory of God in the face of Jesus, trying to obey God's commandment, listen to him. We do that by coming to church, by saying our prayers, by, you know, engaging in spiritual formation and Christian education and serving in different ways. But too often the world intervenes, and all our best efforts feel like they are worthless. The boy doesn't get healed. The world is still screwed up. There's still war and violence and death. Even our own relationships aren't what they should be. We have conflict within our families and workplaces and churches, and we're struggling so much to keep the mountaintop vision in the valley of the shadow of death. I love that Jesus, while he's cranky, does not give up on his disciples, right? He doesn't abandon them because they failed. He doesn't say, oh, you failed, get off, I'm going to find new disciples. No, they stay together. He keeps working with them, even when they abandon him at the cross, even when Peter denies him 3 times. Jesus does not give up on these disciples. He knows that they are a work in progress. Thank God for that. Because I too am a work in progress. I too fall short. I don't have the faith that I need. I lose the vision. I forget to listen. And God's word to me, to the disciples, to all of us is, hang in there. I am with you. Keep trying. So this Epiphany, as we come down from the mountain and set our faces to walk with Jesus to Jerusalem, we walk with him through the 40 days and nights of his time in the wilderness, as we come close to Holy Week and those terrible and wonderful events of the end of Jesus' earthly life, let us be encouraged by the words of the gospel. Let's be encouraged by the example of Jesus, who continues to work with us and in us and through us until, by God's grace, one day we too will shine with the light of God's glory, radiate the love, the power, the forgiveness, the grace, and the glory that God has implanted within us. We too are made in the image of God. We too bear the likeness of Christ. And with our faces unveiled, as St. Paul says, may we shine with the light of God's grace.